Praise the Lord. Once again, I wish you all a happy, blessed Resurrection Day. God bless you. Before we go to the Word of God, one announcement about this month, Victory Night. The Victory Night, not tomorrow, the coming Victory Night, 28th. One Dr. Muralidhar from Tribal Mission India is coming and sharing the word. Just keep it in mind. Invite your friends. Let all of us be blessed. Amen. All of us, we know why we are here. A special day for us. And it is always a privilege. I believe it. Whenever we come in the presence of God. And today, it is not new to us. And we are hearing many messages about the Resurrection Day of the Lord. As a familiar scriptures, please can you turn to your Bible, open your Bible to John, Gospel of John, chapter 20. As an introduction, let us read verses 1 to 9. Just pay attention to God's word. I may ask you the questions. John chapter 20, verses 1 to 10.
John. John chapter 20 verses 1 to 10. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying.
Praise God. So you know the situation. Remember, all of us, we are very much aware of it. Who are all the characters we have seen there? Who are all the characters? Disciples and? Right. So I will start with here. But as yet did not, for as yet they did not know the scripture, verse 9. That he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. Start with verse 11. But Mary stood outside by the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, see the verse, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid them. Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Verse 15, Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" So this is the first word of Jesus Christ after he is risen to this woman. How it is possible? The same verse, the angels called her, "Woman, why are you waiting? Why are you weeping?" The same thing Jesus said, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom you are seeking?" Even in our life, many times we weep. How many of you had that experience? All of us. Because that is one of the emotions we were all built in, and we are expressing our inner man by weeping, expressing outside what are you, how you are, what you felt. That is the expression of your inner man. So nothing wrong in that. But in that case here, Mary's case is totally different. She was expecting, you know, about her background, who she is, how she was, and what was the past life. And now she has come to see Jesus Christ from the tomb. And at the same time, the disciples also came. They went back to their house. But she did not give up. She stood there. She has taken a step again to go inside and searching for the body of Christ. But the scriptures say they did not remember the scripture. Here, verse 15, Jesus said to a woman. And here the woman is weeping, thinking of all the tears through the years. Tears would have never been the part of life had there been no sin. Even Jesus wept. That is the shortest scripture in the Bible that we know. In before the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus too expressed his love towards Lazarus and his family. That's why the whole disciple, the proud, surrounded him, testified that. See how much he loves him. So the conclusion was the wept. Why he wept? It gave the message to the world and the people. Jesus loved Lazarus. How much Jesus loved Lazarus. In the same way, she is weeping. What does it mean? She loved Jesus. She loves Jesus. That is the expression. So here, many times we too weep, but there will be an answer for everything. And when he said and called her and questioned her, and she could be able to tell, but at the same time, the answer was very reason for her tears. In the last days in Revelation, we know, 21:4, God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. Mary did not recognize the Lord. Perhaps it was her tears. Maybe it was the time of day. It probably was because she was not looking for him. That's what we can understand. She did not recognize that is Jesus. If she is, and that things would be different. That's why he says, asked her, "Why are you weeping, and whom you are seeking?" How many of us seek the Lord in our life in a desperate situations? And whoever we are, whatever the condition, the message from here is, God will be there with you in all situations, besides you. There is only thing is, we fail to recognize Jesus is with us. On this resurrection day, that is the one of the message for us. Learn to recognize. It is not enough searching for or waiting for or weeping with. More than that, be attentive. Jesus will be beside you. And he will wipe your tears. Amen? Secondly, John 20 verse 16. Continually, if we go through this. Verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is say as a teacher. That was the second word he spoke. Mary. So what do we understand from here? What do we understand from here? We know and we believe God knows me. God knows me not only by your name and also by your heart. Here, God knows everyone's name. Jesus knows our name. We should be delighted when God calls you by your name. How many of you believe that? Say amen to that.
Amen.
How many of you expect that God should call you by your own name? Put your hands. Definitely. This is the one of the message. When there is a need, if you don't recognize Jesus Christ, he will take another step, call you by name. So if you had an experience before with him, immediately your response will be different. You will not surprise who is calling my name. That's why, see her response. What was her response? Rabboni. That means he knows. He identified. She identified. She understood. She was very much confirmed. It is only Jesus. So when God calls you by your name, don't be surprised. But you should be able to know that is Jesus. He will call you at any time. It is all possible when you have expectant desire to seek the Lord. You should have the desire within you, desperate desire. Expect not only see him and expecting him to call you personally. So here, even Jesus said, every disciple knows the Savior's voice. That's why he said, my sheep hear my voice. If you do not know when the Lord is speaking to you, then you are headed to trouble. Those who love the Lord the most get the greater blessing. Notice the verse 10 and 11. All they love, but it seems by our actions, she loved more and had a blessing of meeting him. Why I say 10 and 11? They left. The disciples, all these days, when they found, they don't have patience. They run back to their home. But Mary is different. She waited there to meet the Lord and to talk to the Lord. And she was not failed. She has succeeded on that day. God spoke to him. She, in return, recognized. Jesus said, my sheep knows my voice. So my disciples knows my voice. So we should be, secondly, it is not only expecting. or recognizing the Lord is with you and besides you, able to recognize His voice. So that is another message for you. Expect that God to call you by your name. That will be a very delighting experience. Thirdly, in the same portion, verse 17. Sister, read it. 17 and 18.
John 20, 17 and 18. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Verse 18, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
Thank you. So in this scripture, what is it? Immediately she was so excited. That's why he said, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God." The third word is, go tell my brethren and say to them, I am risen. Go and tell. That is the message for all Christians. That's why time and again God asks us to remember this. Remember this and proclaim this message to the world. That is the duty of each and every one of us. Even in the last word, what was the message we are giving? So she had the message of resurrection. The resurrection gives us the message to tell the world, a message that sin had been paid for the cross, at the cross. A message that we have hope beyond the grave. A message of resurrection for ourselves one day and a great reunion day. Amen? That is our great hope. That is why the encouraging word for the last days is 1 Thessalonians. Open your Bibles. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses from 13 to 18. These are the encouraging word, the word which gives us hope. That is the great hope what we are having. What will be our resurrection? How our resurrection? It confirms about our resurrection. Let us read. Pay attention to God's word.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. 14. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. 15. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. 16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. 17. After that, we who are still alive and are left with will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Verse 18, therefore, encourage one another with these words.
Actually, and initially, I was preparing a message from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 12 to 19, that confirms about what will happen and what if Jesus is not risen. And what is, how it is possible and about the resurrection. I went through the scriptures. He says that it proves the resurrection of our Lord proves from the scriptures. There are evidences. And it proves from the facts. Everybody has seen, the world has seen. And proved the declaration fact of it. And it proves the predictions about what it will be in the future. And it proves about our faith and our consecration. And it proves even the natures, because the tomb is still there. And proved the fulfillment of prophecy that we read now. And also the prophecy was said in Isaiah. In the same way, when you look at it, and in the scriptures, if Jesus is not risen, so many things we will miss it. What are they? And what are the failures? We have no guarantee of our resurrection. If the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not true, our resurrection also a failure, what we believe in. The first letter Thessalonians, we know that. It assured that we will also resurrect. And those who are died before us also will resurrect and come. And that was the hope. The Lord is going to come. And we are going to meet Him. That is the purpose of we following Christ. And we are following on our belief is about the eternity. Eternal life. Not of the present world. So in that case, if Jesus is not risen, so many things we miss it. Our preaching is vain. Our faith is vain. That's what the scripture says in the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 14, 15, 17 to 19. So we become liars because we are preaching the doctrine. And we are yet to live in sins. And we all dead and will be perished. Those who are died also, they will be perished. That they are not going to resurrect. And our hope will not be there. That is, we have no hope of our resurrection. So when all these things were there, when I preparing, then immediately I thought, yes, this was even presented to us even earlier, the recent year, last year, and it should be in your mind. That's what I believe it. So I took it, went back and looked for other verses. Even one day I took it. So that's why the what was the first word of Jesus Christ after risen? First word, women in general. Second word. Sorry? Why are you weeping? Third. No, second is Mary, why are you weeping? Yes. Third, go and tell my brethren the message of resurrection. Go and tell. Fourth one is verse 19. Verse 19. Then the same day, evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were, pay attention, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled. Why they assembled? Not expecting to visit the Lord or expecting God to visit them. Why they are gathered together? For fear of Jews. But Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. While he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Even, see again this same situation. They didn't expect, but they gather. They are all in fear. If that is the situation any time you face in your life, as a surprise, he will be there. Even your door will be closed. But he will be there inside to show that he is with you. Not only that, he will comfort you with the word of peace be with you. The another message of Resurrection Day is the peace of God is promised to us. The peace of God is promised to us. So here, Jesus gave them the promise, peace. Not only peace with you, but also peace of God. Peace of God for all of us. Peace and not blame. Peace and not fault finding. His first words were words of peace and not rebuke. He did not see the situation. When they went to the tomb, they came back. That's it. They are the disciples. They are the, we are sometimes in anxiety or excitement, we ran behind. I will follow. After that, we will give up. But God never fails. They lost their hope. That's what I can say. They lost their hope. Somebody has taken. They waited, they came back. But she was there. Even though they are in fear, when God is with them, he did not condemn them. He did not rebuke them. And rather, he proved that he is he. Without anything, without any question, he said, peace be with you. He is our God. So, troubled hearts, troubled conscience, and troubled minds, all due to the consequences of sin. There is no peace to be found in the world. In the world, we only find war, fear, troubles, and no peace. But in God, there is peace. If God is with you and God is in you, the peace be with you. Fifthly, verse 21 and 22. Read it.
Verse 21. Again Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Verse 22. And with that, he breathed on him and said, receive the Holy Spirit.
That is another blessing, another promise for us on this Resurrection Day. Peace be with you. He doesn't stop there. What did he say? Jesus gave them the promise. Apart from that, what did he say? Did it? As my Father has sent me, even so I sent you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Here is the call to service and the power to serve. There is a job to be done for the Lord. That is the reason he has left us here instead of taking us home to heaven immediately after the conversion. We are powerless without him. He puts his power inside us and through the passion person of the Holy Spirit. The cross gives us the message. The resurrection gives us the power. What does it mean? Even on the law, in his days, when he sent the disciples, he sent them two by two. He did not give them any material or anything when he was sending them forth to carry the message and preach the word. He gave them only the power and authority. But here, God, where will we get the power? It is only with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came on the Pentecost, they all received power. They all commanded to go and witness. Here, the message of the resurrection is, not only we live in peace, we will receive the Holy Spirit. Even when God created first time Adam, he breathed in his nostrils. That's why he became a living being. Now, after that, Jesus breathed to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now it's a message for us. How many of us received? How many of us exercising? How many of us experiencing? Or how many of us experience the manifestation of the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit is the gift. Today, on this Resurrection Day, message comes to you, receive the Holy Spirit, that is the gift. Amen? Amen. Look forward, the coming days, God will do a miracle. And bring forth many messages to you. Amen? Sixthly, verse 27. Quickly we'll go. Verse 27. Yes.
Verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe.
We know all about Thomas. Not our Thomas. And Thomas is well known. And people may say that, and he is a negative character, but there is a positiveness in him also. There are many reasons. And through him, even India also evangelized what he was. So we are not here to judge. But here we are to understand and also what is the message for us here in John 27. And you know about him. And he was there. Reach out your finger. Because last time when he met, this was happened after 8 days. So when Jesus met the disciples on the same day, he was not there in that room. So now after 8 days, again he was there. Jesus Christ is there. Then the Thomas was there. That's why he was telling. And let me read it to the whole. 24. Now Thomas called. Yeah, please read it.
Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it on my side. Stop doubting and believe.
So you know it, just as a reminder. So you know about him. So what we learn from here, do not be unbelieving but believing. A word to the doubting Thomas is this. Notice the following. Notice how much a Christian may lose out by not regularly attending the assembly of God's people. Compare the verse 24 and 26 here. Thomas was there at the next meeting and Jesus came. And he met the Lord and you can meet him too. You can meet him by faith. So don't take the wrong message. If I don't come to church today, next week when I come, I will meet the Lord. When Thomas said, don't take the wrong message. The message here is, don't expect the signs to prove. So what the scripture says to us, and without believing, what is faith? What is faith? Faith is something which you cannot see. Without seeing, you believe it. Our faith should be like that. This is not a Thomas faith. Unless I see the wounds, I will put my hands and my finger, I will not believe. That is not the faith. Many people look for the signs to believe. But here the message comes to what the Lord says to us, do not be unbelieving, but believing God. So God never puts you or fails you. Amen? Seventhly, verse 29.
Verse 29. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.
Blessed are those who have not seen and yet to be believed. Are you the same? Are you blessed? That's right. John, even Romans 3:24. Ephesians 2, 8 to 9. Let us read Ephesians 2, 8 to 9.
Ephesians 2, 8 to 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not for from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Romans 3:24.
Romans chapter 3, verse 24. And all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ.
Amen. So in that case, what the message for us is, we are saved by faith. We are righteous through faith. Amen? And we are walked by faith, not by sight. This is the message. Everything is by faith. So what are the message we carry from this resurrection day? What are the messages? Our Lord is alive. He has risen. Nothing can hold Him. And we are the children of the living God. Amen? Secondly, He has risen and He has shown Himself to the people and to His own. And they fail to recognize on that day, but we are not like them. We will recognize our Lord because He is always with us. He promised that I will never leave you nor forsake you. There is no point in quoting the scriptures and memorizing the scriptures. More than that, experiencing and assuring that God is with you. Amen. And God will speak to you. And that time also we should be able to recognize that is God. This is a voice of God. People are having a confusion of whether it is my voice, whether it is the voice of the world, or voice of the Lord. Learn to distinguish the difference between your voice and the voice of the world. Most of the people, they were very attentive to the voice of the world than the voice of God. God will not speak as the world speaks. God will speak only by your situation. When you are seeking Him desperately, without giving up, like Mary, she went, even the disciples left the place. She stood there waiting and waiting that made her to meet him and comfort him. Amen? And even if you forget, even if you close your door, you lost your hope, and you are with the fear inside your room, scaring that they should not come and hurt you or kill you. In that situation, as Jesus stood in the midst of them, God will stand beside us. He will say, first, peace be with you, then the rest. So, and he breathed and said, receive the Holy Spirit, the power. So the power of God will be given to us. The power which raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the same power is given to us as the power of the Holy Spirit. We should live not only by faith and with the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the message for you on this Resurrection Day. God bless you. Now it's the time for us to go to the Lord's table. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. First Corinthians chapter 11, verses from 23 onwards. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drink this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. So in this, once again, dear children of God, this last table is for us, those who accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior and obey the Lord into the waters of baptism and testified about his death and his resurrection and his coming. So here the things for us to remember when we partake part in this Lord's table by taking the bread and wine. It resembles the body of Christ and the blood of our Lord Jesus. And it is not a ritual thing as we are doing as a thing you think as a, it is routine. And he has many meaning for it. First of all, we should thank him. Secondly, we should remember what he has done. And it will continue. So in this case, that was the past. And the future, their proclamation, We are all of us are expected to proclaim the death of Christ to the world. And what we are expecting in the future, it is our remembers, it reminds us that our Lord is going to come. That's what verse 26 says. Till he comes, we have a hope our Lord is going to come. And it has to be taken with the reverence, not take it very lightly or routine or as a tradition. No, it should be taken with the reverence. And it should be done with examining ourselves. Don't examine others. Examine yourselves and confess before the Lord before you come to the front to receive the Lord's table. And it is a sign of fellowshipping with one another. Fellowshipping with our Lord Jesus Christ. As he served the communion before his death to the disciples, we will also remember our Lord Jesus Christ is with us. So we will do it as often as possible as the Lord commanded us to do. Close our eyes. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, very specially for the table which you prepared for us. Thank you, Lord, as a reminder for us to remember your suffering, your death, your burial, your resurrection, and your coming. Whenever, wherever we take it, it reminds us, yes, Lord, indeed, we are, Lord, here to proclaim your, not only your death and your coming. That is the great hope what we have. Now, bless the bread and the wine, sanctify it. As we are going to take this, let our changes in our life and to remember that the Lord himself is with us and in us, O Father. And bless your children, prepare them from their heart, and make us as the worthy people to be here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The ushers will help you. Please coordinate with the ushers.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shall we all rise? John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 19, the last part. John chapter 14, verse 19. Because I live, you will live also. Because I live, you will live also. He who's joined to the living has hope, the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes. You have hope because you have been joined to the living. Amen? You have hope because you have been joined to the living. And your hope shall never be in vain in the name of Jesus. There shall be no doubt that will bring you down. But instead of unbelieving, you shall be believing because you have been joined to the living. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again, O Lord God, for your life in us because you are alive. Thank you because we have life in you. Thank you, O Lord God, that you have not abandoned us. But Lord, you rose again and you brought us to life with you. Father, we bless your holy name. Father, we are the sons of the living God because we are joined with your Son. Father, thank you for this privilege of the resurrected life that we have in Christ. Lord, we bless your holy name. Help us to live in this hope, declaring your life to the world around us, declaring your light to the world around us in the name of Jesus. Help us, our Father, Lord God, Father, never to be cumbered by fear, but Lord God, to confess in faith that you are alive in me. Help us, our Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this time that you have given us. Thank you for your word that you have given us, O Lord God. Help us to live your word in faith in the name of Jesus. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have asked and we have prayed. Amen. Amen and amen. Let's share the grace. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen.